So now we're going to hear from Natalie Klett from Consular Services, who are actually the people who also can find you if you don't know how to find yourself. Thanks.
Hello. Hope everyone's doing well. So my name is Natalie, and I'm here from Consular Services. I'm based in Ottawa. So I traveled here today to speak to all you lovely people that are going abroad. So just on the agenda today, I'm just going to do a little overview of Canadian Consular Services. So who we are, what we do, both here in Canada and around the world. So my goal today is really to prepare you for safe travel abroad and also show you the tools that are there to help you. So I'll be speaking for about 25 to 30 minutes, and hopefully I'll be able to answer your questions. So let's start. What are consular services? Well, consular is the word used to describe the services provided by a country to its citizens abroad. Consular services can take many forms, but essentially they fall under these two categories: prevention and assistance. So we help Canadians prepare for foreign travel by providing up-to-date information and advice before they go. Before is really the key word here. Why is this so important? Well, the fact is that preparation is really the key to successful travel. And as you know, we live today in a much more security-conscious world where the security situation can change very quickly. So that's why preparation is so important. In the last 5 years, we've actually seen the number of Canadians asking for assistance abroad increase by about 32%, and some of those problems could have been prevented. So that's why we're trying to prevent consular cases from happening. But in some instances, they can't really be prevented, and even with the best preparation possible, accidents, illness, natural disasters do occur. And that's why we're here to help you. Most trips go off without a hitch, no problem. We have a great time. It's a great experience. But unfortunately, we can't always prevent the unpredictable. Linguistic and cultural differences can sometimes make these problems more difficult to resolve. Let's just look at a few statistics here. Canadians sure love to travel. In 2008 alone, Canadians made more than 53 million trips. That's a lot of trips for a population of about 32 to 33 million. More and more Canadians of all ages are traveling to a wider range of destinations, to the most exotic and remote locations of the world. These locations are not always equipped to face medical emergencies. As you well know, more and more students, such as yourselves, choose to take a gap year, backpack, go study abroad. They're also interested in obtaining international work experience. We also have a large number of Canadians that have dual citizenship. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have dual citizenship here? See, there's a lot. And a lot of dual citizens choose to travel back to their country of origin to visit their family and friends. We estimate at about 2.5 million the number of Canadians currently living abroad. So that's a lot of Canadians. So, well, who are we? We're a network of over 260 Canadian embassies, high commissions, and consulates in over 150 countries. In countries or regions where Canada doesn't have an office, we have a consular sharing agreement with Australia. So, for example, the Australia consulate in Honolulu would provide services to Canadians because we don't have a consulate in Hawaii. And in turn, we provide services to Australians in countries where they don't have an office, such as Guatemala or Tunisia, for example. Now, what exactly is the difference between a high commission, an embassy, and a consulate? Well, an embassy is in the capital city of another country. So Washington, D.C. comes to mind, Paris. A high commission is also in the capital city of a country, but it's in a Commonwealth country. So examples would be London, Canberra. And consulates are in a major, but not a capital city, and don't necessarily offer a full range of services. Consulates may be very small. In some cases, we have micro missions that are just a few employees. In other offices, we offer the full range of services, so passport, immigration, and they're big offices. So it's a good thing to do to verify what type of office is in the destination country you're going to, in case you need to contact us. So, you may have heard that we have an emergency operations center in Ottawa. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there's always experienced officers that are available to respond to emergency calls from anywhere in the world. Just for the crisis in Haiti, the earthquake that happened not long ago, we received about 50,000 calls in our operations center, mostly from family members looking for someone. So we're prepared if there's a crisis to answer calls, and we obviously have a few more officers that can help out if needed. Let's say that you're in Madrid, Spain. Your passport gets stolen in the middle of the night. You try to contact the embassy in Madrid, but it's after hours. So your call automatically gets transferred to our operations center in Ottawa, where a person, not a machine, will be able to take your call and tell you the things you need to do. In this case, you need to have file a police report right away, signaling the theft. But if the situation is more urgent and you've been attacked and injured, the officer will be able to wake up his counterpart in Madrid to come and help you, hopefully right away. So it really depends on each situation. But if you are in a crisis mode and you need help, it's nice to know that there's someone there to help you. So as much as you may think that this couldn't happen to you, you never know. And situations can occur just about anywhere. So it's nice to know that there's someone there to help you. You can call us Collect, 613-996-8885, or email us at sos@international.uc.ca if anything happens. By the way, did you know that Spain has the highest number of lost and stolen passports in the world? So it could happen. So consular officials, what exactly do they do? Well, we can arrange evacuation in the event of a war, civil unrest, or natural disaster as a last resort. Just from Haiti alone, we evacuated about 5,000 Canadians. So that's a lot of people. We can assist in medical emergencies, assist victims of robbery or other violence. And we also provide assistance in case of missing persons. So if you tell your parents you're going to call once you're there, you should call them, or else they might call us looking for you. I'll give you an example of a medical emergency. A Canadian man was on a little trip to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. 25 years old, healthy man. He fell off his balcony. So three floors down, he fell down. He was in really serious condition. He had some very injured limbs. He had internal bleeding. He was rushed to the hospital and was basically told by the hospital that until he came up with the sum of $30,000, they could not operate him. And he had a broken leg, internal bleeding, and the only thing he was being given was Tylenol, painkiller. Doesn't really help you when you're in critical. So we got a call from his mom that was panicked, you know. She could not come up with the sum of $30,000 right away. And until the hospital got that money, they couldn't do anything for her son. So she asked us to see if we could help. Well, in this case, we're talking of a life and death situation, so we were able to provide the young man with a loan. We're not a bank, so it was a loan. And ultimately, this saved his life. We then repatriated him to Canada, another $40,000. At the end of the day, $70,000 later, we have this man's passport, and he hasn't traveled, and it's been about 6 or 7 years. He's still repaying his debt. So it just gives you a little bit of an idea that the embassy does not pay for your medical expenses abroad. Basically, if you can't afford travel insurance, you can't afford to travel. You must respect all the clauses and obligations of the insurance contract. This man was intoxicated when he fell, so his insurance wouldn't pay. So you want to read the fine print, and he should have read our travel report as well. We have a little line that mentions that the height of balconies in Mexico are a little bit lower, probably why he fell. So just gives you a little bit of an idea. So we do a lot of things for our Canadians. We can also provide a list of local doctors and hospitals that speak English or French, and we can recommend clinics and hospitals that will treat you and treat you well. We can seek to ensure that Canadians are treated fairly under the country's laws if arrested or detained. We can replace lost or stolen passports. We do a lot of replacing lost and stolen passports, so please make sure to keep your passport in a safe place. It's a very valuable document, so make sure you take care of it. We transfer emergency funds for a fee, and we can also notarize documents. So this is just a bit of an example of the things that we can do. A full list of services is in your Bon Voyage BUT booklet that was given to you as part of your pre-departure kit. However, there's a few things that we don't do. Unfortunately, we're not priests, so we can't marry you. For some reason, Canadians think that we can marry them. For security reasons, we don't store personal effects or accept mail on your behalf. We're not a warehouse. And for security reasons, and we don't have enough space to store everyone's stuff, so you can store your own stuff. We don't accept mail on your behalf or assist with job or apartment hunting. A lot of Canadians go abroad thinking they'll be able to find a job, find an apartment once they get there. And then they ask us if they can stay at the consulate because they haven't found a place to stay. Nope, we're not a hotel either, so you can't stay with us. We will not intervene in exit and entry requirements or get you out of prison. The embassy will ensure Canadians in prison get access to the basic care, however, because in some countries, if you don't pay, you don't even get water or food. So we will ensure that you get medication, water, and food, but your Canadian citizenship is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. A bit more on the prison issue. Currently, we have about 1,800 Canadians imprisoned abroad. Most of them are for drug-related offenses. And most of them are in which country, do you think? The United States. Yes, right beside our neighbor country. So please keep in mind that while you are in a foreign country, you're subject to its laws and regulations. Even in the U.S., the prison conditions aren't as great as in Canada. So why would you commit a crime in another country that you wouldn't do at home? I don't know. I recently was in the Federal Detention Center in Miami meeting with a few Canadians imprisoned abroad, all of them for drug-related offenses. And I'll tell you, it's not a pretty place. Even in the States, the treatment of prisoners is not wonderful. And most cases, the sentences are longer and harsher. So it's just not worth it. Ignorance is no defense, and your Canadian citizenship offers you no immunity. So you're subject to the laws and regulations of the country you're in. So a bit more on your basic toolkit. So preparation and careful planning will go a long way to ensure a safe trip and a successful international experience. So let's see what we have as tools for you. Travel.dc.ca. Has anyone seen this website? A few? Hopefully. Well, that's our consular services website, also known as voyage.gc.ca. It's a one-stop shop for essential travel information and resources. It can save you time, money, and trouble. Last year, we received about 4.5 million visits, but this year, with everything that's happening in the world, it's going to be much greater. So right now, this is our current homepage. Is anyone familiar with the site now even more? You've been there? No? Yes? Maybe? After today, you will. Okay. So our site is updated whenever the security situation changes around the world. So every minute of every day, we're updating our website because the security situation is always changing. Some of the highlights include country-specific information, such as global issues, so situations in the world that will have an impact on travelers, such as maybe elections, civil unrest. Hurricane season starts in June, and demonstrations and different things that are happening that you want to be aware of. We also have country profiles, so a little bit on destinations, maps, cultural insights, all kinds of kind of information on the social and cultural context. And we also have travel updates. You can subscribe to travel updates. There's a little icon right here. And basically, it's a free service, and you get a daily email advising you of what's changed in the past 24 hours. And you can also subscribe to our RSS feeds for country-specific information. So you might want to do that about the destination you're going to, just to get an update of if anything has changed. This is the travel report for Mexico. Travel reports are the official Government of Canada advice and recommendation for foreign countries. This information is always kept up to date and is gathered from a variety of reliable sources. We check news wires, our Canadian offices abroad obviously help us with these travel reports, and security intelligence. We also consult with our like-minded countries, such as the US, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. On the right side of the screen, you'll find all of the table of contents of this travel report, and every travel report has the same sections, so a lot of information in each travel report. We have travel reports for over 200 destinations, including all the destinations you're going to. So we also may issue travel warnings in the section 2 of the travel report. But what exactly is a travel warning? Well, we have two levels of travel warning up here. You can see them in red. And we also have two risk levels in blue. So events that can trigger a warning are threats of terrorism, civil unrest, natural disasters, political instability, or health emergencies. Am I losing? Everyone can hear me? We also have two risk levels. Exercise normal security precautions means that there are no significant security concerns. For example, this is the case for Austria, France, Ireland, and Japan right now. The second one, exercise a high degree of cautions, means that there are identifiable security concerns. And this is the case for Mexico, Ghana, Argentina, Brazil, Bangladesh, Colombia, Greece, just to name a few. So you should be alert and vigilant to your surroundings. Travel warnings have an impact on travel insurance. So make sure to verify before booking a trip, as well as before leaving, as the situation could change. For example, your insurance will refund you if a travel warning suddenly appears after you've purchased your ticket. But if you haven't checked our website and purchased your plane ticket and there was a warning that was already there, you can't get a refund. So it's worth verifying, especially if the situation is critical and you might not want to go there. So in the end, the decision to travel is the sole responsibility of the traveler, so you. So these are just recommendations, but I strongly encourage you to all have a look because this is very important information. We also have a registration service, also known as ROCA, the Registration of Canadians Abroad. It's mandatory for all of you, so you'll get familiar with it. But just a little bit of an overview. Registering is free. You can do it online on our website. Of course, any personal information provided on the registration form is protected in accordance with the Privacy Act. Our system is basically you create your own profile, and so you put all your information in, and you simply update it as you travel. So perhaps you'll take a few side trips once you're in your destination country. You can just update your profile and let us know where you're going to be. And in case of an emergency, we know where you are, and it's a lot easier for us to help you. Or we can also advise you if there's something happening at home, an emergency. So it is very important that you let us know where you are and how you can be reached, because we never know what can happen. For example, the earthquake in Haiti that happened not long ago, we had about 6,000 Canadians that were on the ground, and only 500 had registered. Just over 500. So basically, we had all these Canadians, and we didn't know where they were. So it made it very difficult for us to find them. So anyway, at the end of the day, with their family and friends, some are still missing. Because we couldn't find them and we had no kind of leads as to where they were located. So I do hope that you'll keep your profile updated as you travel. We also have a lot of publications. They were also distributed to you. Our main one is Bon Voyage But. It provides essential guidelines to ensure a safe and successful journey. Make sure you have it with you when you travel, as it has a list of all our offices abroad and emergency contact information. So it's not very big. It's a good one to take with you when you travel. We also have a publication on dual citizenship, Her Own Way for the female traveler, and Well on Your Way is our travel health publication. We have multiple fact sheets, and we also have a traveler's checklist. And you can find all of these online as well as the ones that were included in your package. We also have a publication called Working Abroad, which provides information such as how to cope with culture shock and how to evaluate a job offer. The impact of culture shock should never be underestimated, and sometimes reverse culture shock is worse, so when you come home. The goal of Working Abroad is to provide you with practical information to maximize the chances of a successful adventure and to offer advice on what to do if things don't work out as planned. So in summary, what documents do you need? Well, before you go, you need to do your research. Does everyone have a passport? Yes? Is it still valid? In many countries, your passport must be valid for at least 6 months beyond the date of your expected return. You can find all this information in the travel report for your destination country. Check section 4 for information regarding passport requirements. Please note also that as of March 1st, 2010, a passport is required for Mexico. And a Canadian citizenship card is not a travel document. Your passport is the only officially internationally recognized travel document. Student visas and work permits are two different things. Find out what you need for your destination, depending how long you're going for and for what purpose you're going, if it's to study, if it's to work, if it's to volunteer. HIV test certificates could be required, for example, if you're going to China for a year. We also, in certain destinations, they require certificates of vaccinations. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that, but visit a travel clinic, it's worth it. And you might need an international driver's license if you're planning to drive. So we strongly recommend that you purchase travel health insurance. It's one of the best investments you can make. And make sure medical evacuation is covered. Always keep your passport in a safe place. Keep all your medications, vitamins in their original containers and make copies of your prescriptions. Always bring more than needed as the drugs may not be available where you're going. Carry a medical certificate with you if you're traveling with syringes to prove that they're for medical use. So if there's any diabetics, dual citizenship, contact the embassy of your country of origin to check your status if you're going to travel there. In most countries, there are severe penalties for the possession of even a small amount of an illegal drug. Never take anything, not even an envelope, across a border for someone else. In Malaysia or China, for instance, the penalty for many drug offenses is death. Learn about the local culture and laws ahead of time before you go. For example, if you're going to Singapore, you should know that jaywalking, spitting, and the importation and sale of chewing gum are illegal. Littering is subject to a fine of about $700. Good to know before you go. So this is our information. All of the tools we've talked about are available on our website, travel.gc.ca. If you have any questions, send us an email or give us a call. We also like receiving your feedback about our website and knowing how your experience abroad went. So don't hesitate to contact us. Finally, I hope I've given you a good idea of the role of consular services and of the things to do before going abroad. I hope you all have a wonderful trip and a great international experience. Thanks.